There you go. Happy Monday, everybody. Happy Monday, Tiffany.
Happy Monday, Marty.
How are you today?
I'm great.
Fantastic. I'm glad to hear that. The team just left over there. That was, of course, Ron and what was the name of the other guy there?
What is his name?
Something. Rusty.
Rusty,
yeah,
that's
there you
it,
go.
Rusty.
Ron and Rusty just left. What a great team. I love following them. All right. Hi, guys. I hope you're still listening in. We appreciate your show. We appreciate your lead-in to our show. And for you out there listening in, you are listening to Bacon Bits with Master Happiness. It is Monday night at 7 o'clock, and we're here on WRLR 98.3 every single Monday night here at 7 o'clock. The whole idea of our show here is we're going to try to help you navigate those paths of happiness, okay? We're going to give you little bits of bacon, those hints towards happiness. What we're going to do is we are going to tell you that it's okay sometimes to be sad, to be angry, even afraid. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. But don't stay there. Don't live there. Instead, fight for that happiness. Work on a way of getting towards happiness, and that's what we're here about. And I am here every single Monday at 7, but I can't do it by myself.
You can't?
No, I got to be here with my bestest buddy.
Tiffany.
there she is. I cannot get enough of her saying that. Can you do that for me one more time?
Tiffany.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. See, if I even tried to do a show by myself, I just don't think my level of joy, my level of happiness could be anywhere near as what it is when she's in the room with me.
Oh, my
God. That big grin, that high-pitched squeal that she yells out, Tiffany, like that. You know what's great about it? You people don't see this, but all the dogs in Lake County are howling now when they hear her scream like that. All right, the glass is breaking. It's just beautiful. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Gosh, people are going to think we're married.
Well, we are married just to other people. So
that's funny.
There you go. So, Tiffany, the reason I'm talking really about us being a team and the team that just left them and just the entire WRLR team, it's just, it's amazing. And that's what I wanted to talk about today, is dedicating the show to teams, how teams work, how diverse teams are, how to build stronger teams. And just, have you ever been in a team that you didn't like? Have you ever been in teams that you just thought, wow, they're just rocking and rolling, moving so smoothly, like it's the perfect team? So you
know
what?
Okay. Even something like high school.
Yes.
When it was trying out for proms.
Yes, yes.
There was groups. They put people in groups. And so certain teams worked really well together, and their routine was down pat.
Sure,
awesome.
Sure.
My team, not so much.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Was it somebody else? I mean, because we know it wasn't you.
No, it was me too.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? No,
yeah,
I would have thought
no one got together and wanted to work on it, and all that. They all wanted it. It just didn't work. We weren't a good team. But the girls that made the team, their group worked so well together, and of course they all got picked for the POM. So that how teams work, definitely.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
It really is.
Well, we're gonna get into it a little bit, and you're right. I like
and
this.
That was high school.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so teams are everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, whether you're a family, a company, just a group of common, you know, of people who are sharing a common goal, all right, that's what's considered a team. Okay. The team's made up of multiple players, right? There's multiple players, positions, roles, whatever you want to call them. And the idea here is we have to identify each one of their own strengths, their weaknesses, and see how we can match up the perfect team.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I think since the dawn of man, you'd have to say that we have decided or we've realized that working in a team is better than doing things on our own.
But yes, I agree. There's some people that don't want to work in the team and they only want to be alone, but that's not a good team player.
I would say, and I'm going to clarify myself, I would say usually a team works usually better as a team as opposed to individuals. Sometimes individuals, you know, do a great job, but when you have a team, whether it's just a support team helping you, building you, guiding you, that's awesome. But when you put an entire team together, you've got these multi brains, these ideas, these thoughts, then you can become unstoppable as long as the team can truly work together. Okay?
Agreed.
Out of your entire life, Tiffany, and I love doing this. I'm going to, you know, throw a question at her. She, and then what I'm doing is building up a little tension. I'm going to talk to you as the audience. So Tiffany's sitting here going, oh my gosh, I don't know what the question's going to be.
I have no idea what the question's going to be.
Exactly. It's like a magic trick here. I was just going to say, out of your entire life, Tiffany, you know, all the way through high school, work, etc., you know, your family and friends, what do you think was the most successful team you've ever been at? And while you're thinking about it, what would you say has been the least successful team you've ever been part of?
Well, the least successful team was Matt Palms.
Okay. Wow. Because that one came out right away. You've been thinking about that. You've been waiting years to rip on these girls.
Let's see. About 35 years now.
Wow. Yeah, okay. Yep. All right. So this was the infant Palms squad.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So that was not a good team.
All
but
right.
Usually, like during work,
yes.
I've always been in a really good team.
Good, strong team. Good, strong team.
But the best team would probably be my husband and I. I think we are a very good team. I do. I think we're a very, very good team.
Excellent.
We work well together. I say something, he says, okay. No, that's not true. I just had to throw that joke. But seriously, we are a very good team.
That's excellent. Man, I could not have asked for a better answer. Yeah. That was perfect. Okay. I think you're going to get flowers when you get home tonight.
Oh.
That's what I would imagine. I mean, if I was part of that team, I think flowers are definitely on the menu. Okay. So the idea here is I want us to look at how teams are built, what it takes to put a team together, what the different roles are, and then how we can create a team. It was very interesting. I read a book by Shane Snow. The name of the book was Dream Team.
Was it Lloyd?
It was not Lloyd.
Oh,
actually,
okay.
You know what? It's actually funny, Tiffany, because I find some quotes from people other than Lloyd.
Wow.
I'm just messing with Tiffany right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Only because she loves doing that. And this is what team members do. Exactly. So I read this book called Dream Team by Shane Snow, and it's really interesting about the breakdown of building a team. And what I like about these kind of books is when you read them, a lot of the stuff you say, oh, well, that makes complete sense. That's obvious. But what you need to do is actually see it in writing and say, yes, that does make sense. You're right. I should do this first. This is another thing. Yeah, it makes sense, but maybe I wouldn't have looked at it. Okay, that, and then the other thing I want to talk about is it's called the Big Five Personality Traits. Have you ever heard of that? It's big in psychology, and it was originally written in 1949 by D. Fisk. And what he did was, there are technically thousands and thousands of personalities.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to understand people and talk to them and see where they're at, what they did was they tried to narrow it down to smaller amount of traits. And I think at one point somebody had gotten it down to 12 traits, where they're like greater categories. And then this guy, D. Fisk, in 1949 said, no, let's narrow it down to five personality traits. And what you do is you look at each trait, and everybody you know, you rank them within them. Nobody's 100% in one and zero in all the others. You're a little bit of everything. And what you do is when you're building your team, you do a mix and match. Where someone is strong, you find, you put them in a team where maybe someone else is strong there, but also that's a perfect place where if the rest of the team is weak there, then you need somebody who's strong in that one area. All right, so we'll get that in the middle. So today is a treat that you're going to like. Tiffany, while I was doing some research, I actually came up with three different BACON acronyms for building teams.
All righty.
All right. Now, for those of you out there who are listening, what happens every single Monday, if you've never listened to the show before, which I find hard to believe because according to our demographics, everyone in the world listens to our show. But if you're that one person who's never listened before, what we do every Monday here is we tackle the world's problems, the biggest problems in the absolute world. You know, the things that keep us up late at night, things about humility, the benefits of gratitude, bullying, vandalism, your favorite cocktail, all kinds of stuff. The most important issues of our lifetime. And so today we're talking about teams and how to build teams and how important teams are. And so what we do is we solve it with bacon, because bacon makes everything better. Right, Tiffany?
It does. Everything does better.
Exactly. So what we do is we use the acronym BACON, BACON, and we come up with the words or the answers with those letters. So let's get into this. If you're all ready, are you ready over there?
I'm ready.
All right. Excellent. I want to check with the rest of my team. All right. So the first thing is, when we look at a team, Tiffany, the way I break it down is this. is we're going to break it down into five different members of the team. And each of these little components opens up to a broader description. So B is the builder in a team. This is the person who actually does the work. This is the type of person who creates the entity, the idea, whether it's, hey, we're I need somebody to make dinner. I need somebody to build this product, etc. It's the builder. It's the person. It's the architect. It's the artist. It's the one who does the work.
I am definitely not that person.
Okay.
So I like when there is a person like that on the team, because
definitely.
I am not. You tell me what to do and I'll go ahead and do it. I am not the one that says, okay, this is what we're going to do.
Awesome. Awesome. Yes. Yeah, so good. And it's important to understand. And I fall into most of these. The next one, A, is the one that I don't fall into very well. And that's A, the accountant. This is the money person, the person who says this is the value of what we're doing. Okay. And again, when we're talking about, obviously, you can look at this in a business sense. This is the person who's doing the assembly. The accountant's the one who's running the books. But you can look upon it in a family atmosphere. The builder might be the person who's doing it, is the person who's going to pick up the phone, order the food, wash the dishes, do that kind of stuff. The accountant might say, no, you know what? We're not going to order food today. Instead, we're going to buy groceries so we have enough food for the week. They're the ones who's looking at the value. And that's not only the value of money, but it's also the value of time. So the accountant looks at all of that, how we're spending our energies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. C is the customer caretaker. Okay. That's the one of how do we affect those that we see who are outside of our team. How do we, when we're creating something, let's say in a business, how do the customers out there or the potential customers look towards our goods? But also it's a matter of the customer caretakers looking at the outside world. How does everyone view us? Are our morals in the right position as a family unit, as a team? Is everyone out there looking at us and saying, yes, this is a good team, this is a good family? Okay. All right. Next is O, is the optimist. All right, and this is the person, the visionary, the person who's just the dreamer, who's saying, what if?
That's okay. Me.
Yeah, there you go. And we play with the idea of going, wow, wouldn't it be cool if? And why don't we try this? And, oh, I just had a dream yesterday. There you go. Big kick out of this.
I am, because that's me.
There you go. Well, now what I'm going to tell you is you're probably high in the optimist, but you're probably a little bit of some of these other ones as well. Mm. Okay.
Or not.
Or not. All right. You're just the O. All right.
Okay.
And then N is the navigator. And the navigator is the person who's going to be kind of saying, okay, let's be logical about this. Let's do this first, then this, et cetera.
That's Mark.
Okay. So if you're the optimist and Mark's the navigator, who's the builder? Who's the one who actually does the work and says, we're going to do this? Now, that's probably a little bit of both.
It's a little bit of both.
Okay.
Yeah.
And who's the accountant? Who's the one who says, now remember, it's not just money. It's about what's the worth? What's the value? How much time are we going to spend on this? How much money are we going to spend?
That would be Mark.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Good. And then the customer caretaker.
That would be me.
That would be you. In other words, you care about what they see when they're looking. Awesome. Look at this. So you're already laid out.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
All right.
Yeah.
And so it's the same thing with every business. When you just think about a business, the builders are obviously the people on the line, the people who are building the product, people who might the purchasing department may be buying the products that they're going to resell. The accountant is obviously the accountant, the bookkeeping department, the entire accounting department. They're watching the money, making sure the money comes in and goes accordingly. Customer caretaker for a business is the same way. They're looking at what do the customers out there in the real world think of our product. So they're going to be leaning a little bit more towards the marketing people as well. Optimist visionaries, that's the R&D department, the research and development, trying to come up with what's new in the future. Okay. And then the N is the navigator. That is the entire administrative team. How are we going to make all of these things work? And how do we keep everyone on task? So you can see all of this, it works very well in a family, it works very well in a business, and it's just a nice roundabout team. Now imagine, whether it's a business or a family, imagine if you created an entire family like this, Tiffany, and you didn't have the accountant. In other words, you had builders, people willing to do the work, you care about what people think, you're optimistic, you're dreamers, you want to do wonderful things, and you're navigators, in other words, let's do it. But neither one of you are the accountant. Neither one of you are paying attention to time, money, etc. okay, you're going to run into problems.
A little bit.
Exactly. Exactly. And vice versa. Any one of these things, you pull them out, you could be optimistic. You could have the money. You could do the whole bit. But if nobody wants to be the builder, in other words, nobody wants to do the work, everything falls apart anyway. Okay, so it's very important to look at all of that. So that's the B, the builder, the doer. Okay, A, the accountant, the person taking a look at the value, how you spend your time and money. C, customer caretaker, how does the world see us? Okay, O is the optimistic, the optimist is the person who's looking at the vision. What are we going to do in the future? And N is the navigator. Hey, all right, let's make sense out of the whole thing and let's get it done. All right, beautiful.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
So that's it. That's how we build a team.
All right.
All right. So you're ready to go out there and just build another team?
No.
Well, let me ask you about other teams in your life, Tiffany.
Oh, boy.
What about, like, a group of girlfriends, a group of friends, or stuff like that?
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like you have a team, and do you have anybody, based on those five things I just talked about, do you have any friends who fall into any of those categories? Like, really heavy, going, oh, yeah, I've got this one person, she's the doer. She's just going to go out and do.
I do have a friend like that. Or if we decide to go out, I'm pretty much the neutral party. Hey, Tiff, okay. You want to do this? Yeah, sure. Why not?
Okay.
I do. And they'll make it happen.
Gotcha.
So I have one friend will make all the reservations or make it happen or,
nice.
I'm just like, yeah, whatever. I'll do. I'm the dreamer. That sounds great.
And I would definitely say that in my family, Christy is that builder too. She's the doer. She'll get it done. She'll be like, all right. She'll think of the idea. She's very optimistic, and she's the navigator. Hey, we need to do this, 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 and this. But she's also the person going, all right, I'm rolling up my sleeves and just doing it.
So her highest percentage is the builder.
I would think so, because she just goes for it. And she's like, if no one else is going to do it, I'm going to do it.
Okay.
All right. So everyone needs to be a little bit high in one spot or a few spots and identify where you're at. And then if you're in a team and there's two of you, like you said, your favorite team or your best team is you and Mark.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in a team of only two, you've got to take a look at what your partner is, where their strengths are, where their weaknesses are. And then it's up to you if you want to really build a strong team, is work where both of you have mutual weaknesses and say one of us has to become stronger at that. Okay? And that's how a team is very successful.
I push it on to Mark.
There you go. There you go. So that makes you the navigator. There you go. Hey, we're weak over here. Get to it.
Get to it.
There you go. It's important to do that. And that's that number one thing among teams that make them successful is going to be communication. Communication is number one. You have to be able to talk back and forth. What do you want to do? Where, what are your goals? What are my goals? What are our goals? That's number one is communication with a team. And that's any team. You look at a basketball team. All right, they have a shared goal. Obviously, they want to win the game. Every player in that game has a very specific role. Some of them are, you've got the navigator, the person who's setting the rules, and that might be the coach or the manager on the sidelines. All right, you've got the builders, the people actually doing the work, some of the players. The optimist is the kind of guy who's going to say, okay, we're losing. We've got to come up with something. We can really still win this. This is the person who's driving home the driving the motivation for the team. So it's every team falls into these lines. And if you are missing any of those parts, no matter what the team is, whether it's a sports team, your business team, or at home, you've got to build up those weak spots. And it starts with communication, understanding everyone's role. Communication and empathy. Empathy is understanding where they are. Just because you can tell people, I need you to be better at this. But you have to empathize with them that if they can't, they can't. So then you've got to switch around, find other ways. Okay? So there you go. That's how we build a team. You're loving it?
Loving it.
All right. So those are the five different areas of a team. Now, what I want to get into is this, like I said, the book I read, Shane Snow's The Dream Team, where they talk about how to build the best team possible. All right? The best team. When you just think about it, how do you create this? And it was really interesting because as I'm reading through the book, Shane used the exact same kind of terms, B-A-C-O-N. Okay? I mean, granted, I might have twisted a word here or there, but it worked out. All right? So the B in building the best team possible. Now, we've established the team players. Now, to build the best team, the first thing is there are benefits from diversity. In other words, we have a tendency as humans to flock around like-minded people. and flock around people that we feel comfortable with. You know, we talked about this before. You go into a house party as a couple. What happens is all the guys gather in one area, all the girls gather in another area. Over time, you know, you get some mingling in that. But many times what happens is we break up into groups with like-minded people. And that's human nature. But if you want to build a strong team, you've got to find some diversity. You need to find people in those other areas that you can pull into your team so that your team can understand more and grow. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
All right. And so one of the things you do there is you share stories. So when I'm building this team and we're benefiting, like I said, from diversity, I'm going to ask you stories and you're going to share stories. And it could be, sharing stories of trips that you've gone on, sharing stories of school, things you've learned in school, things you've learned from other relationships you've been in. Because the more you share stories, the more I'm going to find that even though we're diverse, we do have some things in common. So I can find a connection with you. And the more I allow you to share stories, the more I'm going to learn, the more diverse my team is, the greater chances of us being successful because we have a greater knowledge base. So that's why it's B, we benefit from diversity. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Those of you out there who are listening in on this, I hope you're taking notes. This is exactly how you want to build a team. And this is a team at work, whether your superior is telling you, I need you to build a team to get this task done. Or let's say that you are the superior. Let's say it's your company and you're going to sit here going, I need to build a team. Who do I need? I'm working for a couple of companies, helping them build these stronger teams. And it's the exact same thing. We sit here and we go, yeah, you built this one team, this one little group, this one department, and you're wondering why they're failing. And it's because you're missing some of these key components. You're missing some of those key players in that team.
And do you figure out who the key player is that they're missing?
Yeah, that's the whole idea.
Really?
I talked to them and I said, okay, so we need somebody with these kind of strengths. What do you think? And what will happen is they'll say, well, you know, we've got someone like that. Or, oh, we've got a whole bunch of those people. They're in that team. And I'm like, okay, well, let's grab one of those people and let's temporarily put them in this team. Let's mix and match. Again, pushing for diversity. And what ends up happening is it puts a new light on team building. One of the coolest things that I learned was this, is if you have a team and the team is working on a project, and let's say the project, and let's just give it a time frame of 30 days. 15 days into the project, it's a really cool thing to do is to bring somebody from outside the team and drop them into the team. All right, why do you think that would work?
I have no idea. It makes everyone comfortable because everyone was working.
Yeah, they were all working, and now there's somebody new in here. So now what we have to do is everybody in the team has to communicate to the new person, explain what they've been working on. While they're explaining, everyone's listening, and that's when suddenly we awaken. We go, oh, my gosh, I was assuming we were doing it this way. I was assuming this because we've all found a connection. Now there's a new person. As we're explaining this, we're looking at each other going, oh, maybe we were not communicating as well as we thought. Okay, so what happens is we give the team the opportunity to say out loud what they think the team's goal is. And sometimes the team realizes their goals were not as in sync as they thought. Next, the other benefit is as they're explaining it to the new person who is an outsider and they're looking and watching what's going on, they suddenly go, oh, well, that's interesting. That doesn't seem to make sense. Can you explain that a little bit more? And it's the team's first real opportunity to test their ideas on somebody outside the team. So it's a really good idea at some point in time to introduce someone new into the team because it forces everyone to like shake the dust off and possibly test the waters, make sure that what they're doing is they're heading down the right path and that their ideas really make sense. Okay.
Okay.
I don't know if you're nodding or you're just feverishly writing notes over there.
Yep.
All right. You're not clipping your nails over there, are you, there, Tiffany?
No, I'm
picking
them.
All right. Well, we quit that. Remember?
We did.
Yes. All right. So A, the next one. B is we benefit from diversity. A is arguing with respect always assists the team's goals. And so what I mean by arguing with respect is this. It's okay to have conflict in a team atmosphere. If you create a team and only one person is the leader and everyone else is a bunch of yes men, it's not much of a team, is it?
No. Good point.
Yeah. So what we need to do is we need to continue to argue and kind of disagree and move forward to see. When I was in school, I remember especially, I go back to like high school, some of the teams that I was in, I unfortunately did this whole thing where I was like, yeah, I don't think you people know what you're doing. Why don't you all just sit off to the side and I'll do the project, okay? And you don't have to be involved in it. And I would do the project. And these were things that I knew I could do very well, and we would get a good grade, but they weren't involved in it. They didn't do it. And so luckily and good luck and bad luck was a lot of times they would be like, all right, fine. If you want to do it, yeah, go ahead and do it. I don't have to do the assignment, okay? And I look back now and I said, I really should have concentrated more on learning more about teamwork by saying, okay, let me hear your opinion. Why don't we do it and allow people in my team to fail? And possibly then I could have learned more. Okay? So you're giving me that funny look.
I am giving you a look because I...
You don't picture me doing that?
I don't know. I just, that's kind of rude of you.
Oh, yeah, possibly. But it was also a matter of working with, I like, out of all of that, it came down to rude. No, I think it was just one of those things, yeah, that I did not play well as a team.
Exactly.
Yeah, I didn't. But I was with groups that said, okay, fine, you can do it. All right, just run with it. I don't remember ever saying it or bringing it up where I had the rest of the teams arguing, going, no, of course not. We're all going to work on this together. There were teams that we worked on together, but other teams that I just thought the other players were weak. Maybe they didn't want to play. Maybe they didn't want to participate. It was just easier.
They didn't want to play with you.
Exactly. So it was just easier to say, the rest of you just go home. I'll take care of it. I'll show it to you tomorrow. All right. So anyway, what was happening, the problem there was I should have had somebody strong in that team arguing and saying, no, you're not going to do it all by yourself. We're doing it as a team.
Would you have agreed to that, or would you have fought back and said, no, just let me do it?
It depended. I mean, if somebody was strong like that and they showed they had the, remember, this is, we're talking about elementary school and high school.
Uh-huh.
You know, I was a bratty little kid. So hopefully I would have said, okay, yeah, that's cool. Yeah. I mean, there were plenty of students I know through there that I was really like in awe of. Some of these people were very talented in certain things. And I felt I was talented in other things.
Wanted to be in their team.
Yeah, completely. Completely. No, actually, I wanted to be in my own team and beat them. Okay. But anyway, it's the idea of a successful team is not run the way I described the teams I was in. It's a team is not one player telling everyone else to sit it out and they'll do it themselves. A successful team has got to be, this is my idea, and someone else steps up and goes, no, I don't agree with that. Why don't we try it this way? Or that's a good idea. What are you open to a new idea? And we argue with respect. We have to respect the rest of the team. And I definitely did not have respect for the team. And they weren't interested in working. So that's why it worked out anyway.
It was a win-win.
It was a win-win. and probably a big loss because none of us learned teamwork. So B is we benefit from diversity. A, arguing with respect always helps win. You know, we assist the win. Okay, C is create fun activities, experiences, and memories. All right, the idea here is that a team, a diverse team, we come from different areas. We have different strengths. Remember, some of us are the builders, some of us are the accountants, the optimists, etc. We're all these, a wide variety of ideas, especially if you can come up with that diverse of a team. What you need to do is you need to find something to connect us together. And one of the best ways to do that is you find some of these creative activities. You go on an adventure. You do something. You work together on something outside of the normal teamwork. So if you're working at an accounting firm, let's say, what you do is you go mountain climbing or something like that, something completely different, an activity. What it does is it helps you automatically create stronger bonds. You create a team by doing these activities. And they become great memories that a year later they'll go, oh, hey, remember last year when we were climbing the mountain?
And he tripped and fell and went all the way down.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that was so funny. You pulled us all down. We lost the competition. Good times. Okay. But what it does is it creates these great memories. And memories are so much more important than the dollars spent. Okay. I was just discussing somebody else that I'm dealing with some team building for another company. And I said, if you could create an event where everyone is working together and doing something and they're laughing and having a good time, they will remember that for years and years. If you handed each person a check for $100 or cash for $100, they would go, wow, this is awesome. I love this. You just gave me $100. But in a month, in 2 months, the $100 is gone. Okay? It goes into their bank account. They pay some bill with it or part of a bill with it. They might go out to dinner. But it's nothing like the memories that will come of doing an event or an activity with their team players. That will stick with them for almost forever.
Good point.
Okay. Think of outside. Have you ever worked at a place where you did another event outside? Something like they forced you to play some team building game?
My last job we had, it was, what was it called? It was a mud race. It was a Saturday. And they all the employees that wanted to race in it, they paid for it. And so it was called a muck run.
Okay.
So it was a 5K,
yep.
And you had to go through all these different mud things.
Yeah,
you had to climb and all that. So they got us shirts and everything. So we were a team. We all had matching shirts,
awesome.
And the company paid for it. And it was, and I still remember it was awesome.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the whole idea.
Yeah.
And did you bond with anyone? Do you remember bonding
yes.
with somebody? Like, give me an idea of a story of like why you remember bonding with somebody in particular.
Well. She already had signed up for it because she saw it. And then I told her, oh, man, I wish I would have been able to sign up. Was it too late? And she goes, no, I'll get you in.
Okay, cool.
So she got me in. And so we met at the course and we did it together.
Excellent. All right. So this is exactly it. Is those adventures, those activities, the those kind of things will last a lifetime. Because there is an emotional connection. It's outside of work. It's different. It's a breaking of the habit. Remember, like early on, one of our first shows, we talked about how to break the habit, the monotony. You know, you wake up in the morning, brush your teeth with your other hand. Okay. Because you break the monotony, get your brain working in a different way. And those are the things that end up becoming memorable. So we want to do the exact same type of things with work. We want to just break the monotony of the day-to-day and do some type of a cool activity that just gives people some great memories.
It was.
Yes.
It was. We still almost every year I'll send a picture from
nice.
It and then I say, oh, it's a year ago, 2 years ago.
Awesome.
Three.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. So we got B, benefit from diversity. A, argue with respect. C, create these fun activities. O, old ways need a new or a relook. So in other words, what we do is we have a tendency, no matter where we work, we have this tendency to rely on what we've always done. This is what we do because we've always done it. There's no reason to change. And what has to happen is we do need to like shake the dust off of things. And for a team to say, hey, we're going to use play A11 because A11 has worked for us for 20 years. Well, then you got to realize that all your competition knows that play, and they know that. So it's time for you to look at your old ways and, you know, do some things differently. The same with at work. If there is an office that you're working in, and it's the exact same thing over and over and over again, and you're saying, I've got to do this, then this, then this, it's time to shake things up. Maybe you rearrange the furniture, change the art on the walls, paint, change the carpet, something. Look at what's old. Change it up and just give the whole place a fresh look, a fresh feel. That's what's so important. Old ways work, but they get tired and bored, and then you get stuck in the monotony again of just the day-to-day. And so it's the same. Imagine in a marriage, if you just said, we're going to have the exact same thing, you know, where every Tuesday we have tuna casserole, okay? And every Tuesday you have it. One day you just got to get rid of tuna casserole, which I don't know how many people really like tuna casserole.
Hello, I do.
I mean, other than you, how many people?
My brother.
All right. Well, there you go. And I do love Kevin because he gave me that cool shirt. All right. So, all right. Yay for tuna casserole.
Yay.
All
and right. You got to have the potato chips on top too.
Oh, completely. Yes. Yeah. And tonight, Bacon Bits with Master Happiness is brought to you by tuna casserole. Every Tuesday night, what's a Tuesday like without a little tuna casserole? All right.
I'm wearing off on you, aren't I?
Yes, you are. Oh, joy. So anyway, we want to switch things up. We want to change things. All right. And then finally, N is new solutions come from bad ideas. And what I mean by that is this, is don't be afraid of speaking up and coming up with something that you're like, I kind of got this idea, but you guys are all going to laugh at me.
I'm totally that person.
I know you are. You have no filter when it comes up with that, which is tremendous. Everyone should be like that. Everyone should just say, hey, I got this crazy idea.
I don't say that.
Wait, what do you mean you don't say it? You do come up with ideas.
I don't. And if I do, a lot of times I won't say it.
Oh, I read you completely wrong.
You did.
Yes, completely. Yeah. Wow.
No, because I'm afraid that, like you said, they'll think that it's a dumb idea or they'll laugh at me. Nope, I won't.
No.
I'll keep it quiet.
Tiffany. Wow.
Honestly.
Come 8 o'clock, once we're off the air, then you're going to have to lay on the couch. We're going to go for an hour of therapy here. Okay.
Believe me, I need it.
No, you got to be able to say, you got to be, especially in a team. This is the team. You have to say, now it's the brainstorming time. And you have to announce right away, there are no bad ideas. Okay, let's just start throwing ideas on the wall. Let's just start throwing things out there. What about this? What about this? What about this? And they could be outlandish because the bad ideas, let's say you have a bad idea that makes absolutely no sense, okay? But there's one little thing about your idea, one little thing that sparks an idea at somebody else, and they throw it out there. And you're like, yeah, that's even better. You built off my idea. And before you know it, that's the thing that solves the problem. Okay, that's what you want to do. When I listened to some of the stuff, there were some documentaries on some of the ideas they did during World War II. Okay, some of the goofy things that they did that when you hear them, you're like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, why would they do them? But people came up with these ideas, crazy ideas that some people would say, I'm not going to say it. It doesn't make any sense. But they ended up trying them. Many of them actually worked. Okay, one of the ones that I always liked was they had inflatable tanks and army vehicles, just inflatable ones, you know, and they would blow them up in certain areas so that the planes, the scouter planes that would fly over would look down and say, oh my gosh, there's a whole squadron of tanks over there. Okay. And it was a great way to fool the enemy into thinking you were a bigger army than you actually were. Okay. That goes way back to ancient China, where they had dug up this ruins not too long ago, where they had thousands of statues, these statues of people. And every statue wasn't just even a carbon copy of the ones before. It was each statue was a different person's face, and they were set up in a regiment of soldiers. And the idea, they believe what it was about, was they set these up in front of the kingdom so that if a neighboring group or whatever came to attack, they would look and they go, oh my gosh, they have thousands of soldiers standing at the
and
ready.
They just found the statues?
They just found it not too long ago. Because, you know, over time, these things just get buried. And they have to dig this up and re-earth these things.
Wow.
So you look at that. The other one that I really like was that didn't work out so well was they thought they would drop these bats. Okay. They took bats, which fly at night, and they put little fire bombs on them.
Uh-huh.
Little incendiary devices. And they said, what we will do is we will go fly over the enemy territory at night, drop the bats out of an airplane. And what they did was they cooled the bats in something just so that it would help them sleep. And then when they dropped them, the idea was they would warm up as they're falling through the sky, wake up, fly, and then the bats look for places to sleep. So they would go into the buildings, and then at a timer, the timer would go off and start the buildings on fire.
And kill the bats.
Yes, unfortunately, yes, it would kill the bats. But what was worse, I guess, was when they were testing it, the bats woke up at the testing facility, flew all over the place and set the barracks or wherever it was originally, set the wrong places on fire.
And okay. Still died.
Yeah, they still died. I'm sorry. Okay.
They eat mosquitoes.
They do. I have no problems with bats as long as they have no problems with me.
Mm.
Yes. Do they eat enough mosquitoes?
Oh, they eat lots of mosquitoes.
Yeah. Do you have them around your house?
We have bats? Only a couple.
You put up those bat houses?
No, my mom always wanted a bat house.
You should build them. They're not that difficult.
They actually do have kits.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think we have a bat house just in the shed, never put out.
Mm.
So if I can dig it up, I'll bring it to you, and you can hang it up in your neighborhood.
I will.
All right, there you go. So anyway, the new solutions come from bad ideas. That's what it is. You can't view any bad idea as a bad idea. Every idea can lead us to something wonderful. Okay? So far we got the two sets of bacon. B is for the type of person or the type of people you have, the players in your team, is B, the builders, the people who do the work. A, the accountants, the people who look at the value of the things we're doing. C, the customer caretakers, those are the people who look at the people on the outside, what they're seeing when they see your team. O, the optimist, he's the person, the dreamer, looking at the future. And N is the navigator, the one who's setting the rules and saying, hey, let's stick to the plan. Okay? When we're looking at creating that dream team, we have to keep in mind, B is we're going to benefit from diversity, all right? The more different ideas, the stranger members we have, they all bring something different to the team. A, argue with respect. Don't be quiet. Go ahead and question people. Make them expand on their ideas. C, create fun activities. That will make lasting connections and just create great memories so the teams will stay together and function well together. O, old ways need a relook. In other words, just because it's always worked doesn't mean it will continue to work. Don't be afraid of looking at something and be willing to change. And N, new solutions come from bad ideas.
Mm.
Okay? And I know you're just loving that one. The new solutions come from bad ideas. You got to, next time you're in a team meeting, Tiffany.
I'll give my bad
idea. You got to say, okay, before I say this, I want us to state, no ideas are bad ideas, right? Because I got a whole bunch of bad ideas, and these are going to be great ones.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So just jump in there. Throw it out there. This is how new inventions come about. You know, think about this. Do you truly believe that at some point in time, when everyone around the world was riding horses and somebody goes, I can create a vehicle that runs on steam that will drive around and we don't need a horse.
Mm.
And they're like, well, why would we get rid of a horse? Okay. And they're sitting there, yeah, but this is really nice. I mean, it's not as fast as a horse and you have to put a lot of water and you need fuel in it to burn. And, you know, it makes no sense. At that point in time, the horse was perfect. So, but they said, no, we're going to keep doing this. And it seemed to many people it was a bad idea. Many people said, I bet you I could fly like the birds. How many different inventions did they do that didn't work? How many people probably died trying to fly? A lot of those were bad ideas, but many people said, you're an idiot. Why are you trying to fly? Leave that to the birds. Man was not made to fly. A lot of bad ideas led to great, great solutions. So don't be afraid of bad ideas. Don't be afraid of ideas in general.
Hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
All right. Now, the last part I want to do is this, is the big five personality traits. All right? And this, again, can you believe it, Tiffany? It fell into the lines of bacon, B-A-C-O-N.
Ah, oh, what a coincidence.
It's crazy how this kind of thing happens. Now, the first one, B, is bold. The bold extrovert. All right? This is the type of person who thrives in the crowd, loves being around people, loves gets that energy by being in front of people. This is the type of, you know, these are the actors, the people who work on stage, motivational speakers, preachers, okay?
Teachers.
Yeah, there you go. Now, when you look at these traits, what you do is you're saying, yes, this is the trait. This is the high end. Some people can be this, but it's a level. How much of an extrovert are you? If you're all the way at the zero extrovert, okay, then that means that you're probably an introvert and you can't do that. So you look at a person, you say, okay, so how much of an extrovert are you? Are you 90% or are you 10% extrovert? So you're looking at that type of a measure in a person's personality. This is, remember how I had said before, they looked and they said there's thousands and thousands of different types of personalities, and they narrowed it down to these five, but these five are determined or gauged by how much that is. So extrovert by itself is not just the trait, it's how much of an extrovert the person is. A is how agreeable the person is. How agreeable, in other words, willing to help. You can understand that there's plenty of people who are extroverts. They're bold. They're the life of the party. They're in everyone's face, but they're not necessarily agreeable, right? They're the type of person who you might ask them for help, but they're like, nope, too busy talking to everybody. Can't help you out there, right? So they're not agreeable. So you might have an extrovert who's 90% extrovert and 10% agreeable. So what you need is some balance there. And if you can't have that, what you want is you need to work with them and say, we need you to become more agreeable. All right?
Okay.
Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Excellent. Then you got C, conscientious. All right? That's the next one. This is tolerant and thoughtful, all right? Because if I run into an extrovert who is not agreeable, maybe I got to be a little conscientious and say, all right, well, we're just going to tolerate that person. We need that person in the front who's screaming and yelling and getting attention, even though he's not doing any more of the work. So it's what's the level of conscientiousness that each of your team players have. Next is openness. This is the type of person, and that's the letter O, is the type of person who's willing and wanting to learn. They're open to new ideas, open to change. All right, so what you've determined, what's your level of openness to change? And then N is neuroticism, all right? These are the people who are highly emotional, usually sad, okay? These are the people who just have a very difficult time. They're very glum. Sometimes this is important. That's an important thing because if you've got a person who is always just a dreamer and saying, we could do this. You know what? I think I could jump off this cliff, flap my arms, and as long as I can flap my arms fast enough, I can fly. You need somebody who's like going to be, no.
Eeyore.
It's, right. There you go. Exactly. Eeyore is the perfect example. You need that type of thing. It puts a little bit more reality into us. So let's do a little analysis of you there, Tiff.
Okay.
All right, Tiffaroo, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. So as far as an extrovert, all right, someone who's out there, just loves being in the center of the crowd, walks into the room and says, hey, everyone, I'm here.
No.
All right. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being a super extrovert and 1 being an introvert, like I'm gonna walk into a party, hide by a wall. What would you say?
5.
All right, right in the middle there. That's cool. I'm going to lean towards myself being a little higher in the extrovert, okay? Not a complete 10, okay?
9.5, 9.75.
Yeah, something like that. All right. Now, agreeable, the type of person who's willing to help, all right? Where would you put yourself? Someone extremely willing to help, and then the other one who's like, nah, I'm not going to help at all.
8.
There you go. I would agree with you. I probably would have given you higher than an 8. But but you know what? You're agreeable. So you're just going to say, no, 8 is good. I'm going to say that I would hope that I was more, but there are sometimes, plenty of times, I don't really want to help. Okay? I mean, it depends on what the job is. Okay? I mean, if we're saying, hey, we're cleaning out the sewer today. I'm going to go, I have like anything else to do.
Really?
Okay. Oh, I'm not jumping and cleaning out a sewer.
If someone really needed me.
Yeah.
I would
clean out the sewer. Yeah, I know. You know what? I have a bad back.
Tiffany, I really yeah. need your help.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I would do that. But and that's why I'm saying I'm definitely on the higher end, but I'm definitely not a 10 when it comes to agreeable.
Okay.
All right. Conscientious, tolerant, and thoughtful of other people. Now, this is really tolerant. It's not, you can't let it eat you up on the inside. You're just like, hey, this is who this person is, and we're going to live with it and move forward. Where do you think you're there?
Mm.
I'm going to go with my tolerance. I'm pretty high in tolerance. It takes me a bit to lose my cool, okay? But for the most part, I look at the world and I say, you know, you are who you are. I would like to help you find more happiness, but if you don't want to find happiness, that's okay.
What about you don't say anything, but you let it eat it inside you?
You're
tolerant, but...
You're tolerant to their face,
correct.
But not inside.
Exactly.
So I think that puts you a lower... Yeah, because you're really not tolerant. Remember, that's showing that you're not tolerant and you're not an extrovert. Because if you felt like that and you were an extrovert, you'd be telling them how you felt.
Yeah, I don't tell them.
Right. So then, so you're going to say that tolerance is a little on the lower side.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Openness, willing and wanting to learn. What do you, shrug like that?
I am, yeah. Because willing to open to learn something new and change.
Yeah.
No. I like my same
That's
old,
cool.
same old, same
right.
old, same
Interesting.
old.
Interesting. No, I'm going to go high on that. There are certain things, you know about me, white gym shoes. I got to wear white gym shoes. It drives me crazy if I can't have white gym shoes, especially clean ones. When they get a little dirty, they start bugging me. There are certain things like that. But as far as like learning and learning something new, I'm hungry for that new information.
Not me.
If somebody was teaching me something, just if I could sit in a lecture somewhere and they were teaching me something that was of interest, I would be there. You know, bag of popcorn.
You're crazy.
Day. I am crazy. All right. And lastly is neuroticism. All right. This is highly emotional. Sad,
oh, not me.
No.
I'm not an emotional type person.
Well,
what are you talking
about? It's not just... It's, remember, this is that the things really make you sad, make you upset. You get, you're easy to depress, high anxiety. So what level are you? I think you're on the low end there. You try to paint this picture that you're sad, but, you know, our listeners would say, oh, my gosh, Tifaru, she's always smiling and giggling and laughing.
It's kind of funny because one of the days on my old job, I was having a rough day.
Yes.
I was really having a rough day. And I thought everyone knew I was having a rough day. I thought they could see it. They didn't. They're like, Tiffany, man, you're always in such a good mood. And I'm thinking, what are you talking
about? All right. So,
and I'm like, oh, thanks.
I think that goes with that whole idea that you, you know, you don't want people, you know, you don't want to bring people down and you don't want people coming to you and judging you, etc.
Yes.
Right.
So what does that mean?
I don't know.
Oh.
I'm not a therapist.
But what emotion, does that mean I'm high or low?
No, I would still say, where are you? You on a day-to-day, how sad are you really?
No, not too bad.
Exactly. No, and neither am I. There are things that sadden me, things that anger me, things that even scare me. There's times I, you know, can't go to sleep at night. But overall, I look at this and I said, I am so lucky. I have such a great life. Everything just has been able to fall in place because I view it as a positive. Okay, a lot of people go, oh, nothing goes right for me. Well, that's because you're viewing it that way, all right? If it doesn't kill you, let's put it this way. No matter, if it doesn't kill you, you can always say, well, at least it didn't kill me, okay? So I know that sounds silly, but that's the reality behind it. In other words, you can always find some positive in every single thing that's out there.
Yes.
Okay, and that's what's important. So, all right, so that kind of gives you an idea. Those are the big five personality traits. B is that bold extrovert. A, agreeability. C, conscientiousness. O, openness. N, neuroticism. All right, and you look at those. You can look that up. They're just, it's really interesting to be able to view people and say, try to find those people. Those are the puzzle pieces. And you take a look at each team member and you say, this is who this person is. This is who this person is. And a lot of people are saying, well, hey, this is Bacon Bits with Master Happiness. I'm liking the fact that we're discussing team building, but how does this lead us towards happiness?
Ooh.
You like that?
How is that, Marty? How does this bring to happiness?
Okay, let's go back to the beginning statement that we have found over time that we can get more done we can get more done by working as a team instead of as an individual. We need people around us. We need our posse. We need our tribe. We need our group. Okay, that's what we need. And in order to bring those people to us, we have to find what our strengths and weaknesses are. We seek out those places, those people who can fill those gaps for us. And that ends up bringing us happiness because we become more successful with friends around us than we can by ourselves. Very few people can truly find happiness all by themselves.
That is true.
They want people around them. I mean, I agree. Happiness is within. You have to make the decision, I want to be happy, but you want people around you. We are a social species. Humans just want people around us. Anybody who says, I just want to be left alone, yeah, I'm sure you do, because every once in a while, we do want to be left alone. But in the grand scheme of things, the majority of our life, we want people around us. And anyone who says, I don't want anyone around me ever, I just want to be left alone, that's somebody who's going through some tough times. So if they can find the right team, the right people around them, that will lead them to happiness. So that's why we're talking about teams.
Mm.
Okay, so have you ever heard the term, teamwork makes the dream work?
I have heard that.
All right, did you know that that's only the first part of the whole saying? It was written by John Maxwell, who was a preacher, a minister, and he's a great motivational speaker right now. So the whole thing goes like this. Teamwork makes the dream work, but a vision becomes a nightmare when the leader has a big dream and a bad team.
Oh.
Okay? So just because I have remember, teamwork makes the dream work. Yeah, the team can make the dream come true, but that vision, that dream can become awful when the leader is the one who says, I've got this dream, this is the way we're going to do this, but he's got a terrible team, a bad team who can't make it happen.
Mm.
He wants that dream to come true, but it ends up not coming true because he doesn't have the right team.
Hate when that happens.
Yes, we all hate when that happens. So Tiffany, now that we've talked about teams, What kind of quotes, now that you've scoured the Google, okay, and you've found all the best quotes on teamwork, what have you got for us? What words of wisdom, what tidbits can you share with us?
Wake up each day and realize life is great and bacon is awesome.
Yes. Yes, that is so true. And we are Team Bacon right here.
We are Team Bacon.
Yes.
Success is best when it's shared.
True. Exactly. That's what goes right back with what we're saying, that that whole team has to share the success. One of the things, Tiff, I'm sorry, I'm interrupting you again.
Not at all.
Is I remember when I won this speech contest once, okay? And I say that momentarily, I won the speech contest. I went back later and I said, my team won that contest. I played one role in it. I was the extrovert. I was the one on stage speaking. But I had so many other people help me. I had multiple mentors. I had mentors that helped me directly with that speech. I had mentors before then who encouraged me to get to that level. I had people I just talked to. I had people I asked questions to. I interviewed in order to get all that information. So nobody wins alone.
Kind of like the stars when they give their Oscar speech.
There's
always people that they're thinking.
Exactly. Completely. Wholeheartedly. When somebody wins Best Actor, you have to come straight out and say, yeah, you were a really good actor, but you couldn't have won if the movie wasn't made.
Or if the writer didn't write his speech, or your co-actor.
The
or
editor
actress.
Didn't edit it. Just the cinematographer didn't put the camera on you in just the right way.
Yep.
You know, the sound wasn't right. The music playing in the background. There's so much. So every win is a team win. And as soon as you can realize that, you suddenly become an extremely valuable part of any team.
There you go.
Give me another one there, Tiff.
The nicest thing about teamwork is that you always have others on your side.
Yes, yes, because nobody wants to do it alone.
No, except for Marty in school.
I've learned my ways. Who wrote that one?
Margaret.
That's it? Margaret?
Margaret.
Just some woman named Margaret?
Margaret Carty.
Nice. All right.
C-A-R-T-Y.
All right, Margaret. Thank you, Margaret. That was a great one. You got another one for us?
Oh.
I'm going to let you ride this one out.
Okay. Well, instead of giving another quote.
Tell me.
How I just found this out the other day. I think it was Friday. And how you were saying about do something different, like brush your teeth
yes.
with your other hand. Well, I didn't realize this, that a person at work was talking about in how Europe, when they eat, they cut their food.
Yes.
And they eat. So if you cut your food using your knife with your right hand,
yes.
they take the fork with their left hand and eat. When usually in America, you cut your food, then you switch hands
right,
if you're
right.
right-handed.
Yes, yes.
I didn't realize that. So that might be something to try, something a little bit different.
Interesting.
Because when I heard that, and I'm like, really? They do that in Europe? And they're like, yeah, that's how they eat in Europe.
Okay.
Right away, I thought about you and get a different way to get the
But
the
I'm
going to
say, I'm going to push you even further.
Oh, boy.
And say, so you hold the knife in your right hand and the fork with your left as you're cutting food, right?
Yes.
All right. So next time, switch it. Hold the knife in your left hand. Hold the fork in your right.
Now, that could be dangerous.
Yes, it could
that's
be
probably
dangerous.
More dangerous than eating with your left hand.
All right.
That would be
well, I am looking at the time there, Tiff. And it looks like we are done. We are at the top of the hour.
We are done.
All right. And so I want to thank everyone out there. Again, this has been Marty Jalove, and this is Bacon Bits with Master Happiness, where we are helping you navigate those paths of happiness every single Monday at 7. And, of course, I can't do it alone. I'm here with my bestest buddy.
Tiffany.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Say good night, Tiffany.
Good night, Tiffany.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.